All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into the fascinating and often kind of confusing world of trademark law.
Yeah, trademarks. It's an area where things can get pretty tricky, especially when you're dealing with businesses that have names that, well, sound a bit too much alike, you know, close enough that it could cause some real confusion for consumers.
Exactly. Like, how similar is too similar? That's the question, right?
Right. And that's what makes this deep dive so interesting, at least for anyone interested in intellectual property. We're going to be looking at a specific case, Tana v. Dantana's, a case from the 11th Circuit back in 2010.
So why this particular case? What makes it stand out?
Well, for a couple of reasons. First, it gives us a really good look at how courts actually grapple with these issues, these trademark disputes, you know, especially when you factor in geography. Like, how much does location matter when it comes to trademark protection? It's a key question.
Okay, so let's get to the heart of it. This case involves two restaurants, right? Dantana's and Dantana's. The names are pretty similar, at least phonetically.
Oh, yeah. Dantana's is this this classic Italian restaurant. It's been in West Hollywood, California for a long time, since 1964, I believe.
Wow, so it's been around.
Yeah, and it's pretty well known, especially in the LA area. You know, it's got that that old school Hollywood vibe.
I can picture it. And Dantana's.
Dantana's is a group of restaurants, mostly steak and seafood. They're based in Atlanta, Georgia. Much newer, though. Founded in 2003. And they've got a definite sports bar theme going on.
Okay, so two different vibes, but similar names. So what happened?
Well, Dantana, the owner of Dantana's, he filed a lawsuit against the owners of Dantana's.
Claiming trademark infringement, I imagine.
Exactly. He argued that the name Dantana's was just too close to his own and that it was likely to cause confusion among customers. He sued under the Lanham Act, which is the main federal law that deals with trademarks in the U.S.
Makes sense. He wanted to protect his brand, his reputation, and his business.
Right. And he actually He actually tried a couple of things before this lawsuit even made it to the 11th Circuit. He tried to get Dantana's federal trademark registration canceled, but that didn't work. And he filed a lawsuit in California, which was also dismissed.
So this case had already been around the block a few times.
It had. But the 11th Circuit ultimately affirmed the district court's decision, which was to grant summary judgment in favor of Dantana's.
So Dantana's won.
Mm-hmm.
What was the court's reasoning?
Well, to understand that, we need to take a step back and talk about trademarks in general. You see, the whole point of trademark law is to prevent consumer confusion.
Right, so people know exactly whose product or service they're getting.
Exactly. And to figure out whether there's a likelihood of confusion, courts use what's called a likelihood of confusion test.
And this test considers a number of factors, right? It's not just about how similar the names are.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really important to understand, especially in this case, because one of the key issues here was the difference between Dantana's trademark and Dantana's trademark.
Okay, what was the difference?
Well, Dantana's trademark was what we call a common law trademark. That means it was never officially registered with the federal government. He had rights, sure, but only in the area where his restaurant was known and had built up goodwill.
So basically in LA.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, Dantana's, on the other hand, they had a federal trademark registration that gives them broader protection, nationwide protection, in theory.
So that was a major distinction. Dantana's trademark was geographically limited, while Dantana's was more expansive.
Exactly. And that played a big role in the court's decision. Now, the court also used what's called summary judgment to decide the case.
What does that mean, summary judgment?
Well, it basically means the court looked at the evidence and said, look, there's no real dispute about the important facts here. We can decide this case based on the law without needing a full-blown trial.
Okay, so they streamlined the process. And to apply the law, they use this likelihood of confusion test.
Right. And in the 11th Circuit, that test has seven factors.
Seven factors. Can you walk us through them?
Sure. So the first factor is the strength of the plaintiff's mark. How well-known and distinctive is it?
So in this case, how strong was Dantana's trademark?
Well, the court said it was strong in LA, no question. But they also said it didn't have what's called secondary meaning in Atlanta. That means people in Atlanta didn't necessarily connect the name Dantana's with that specific restaurant in LA.
Makes sense. It was famous in one place, but not the other.
Right. The second factor is the similarity of the marks. And yeah, Dantana's and Dantana's, they sound pretty similar.
But the court didn't just stop there, did they?
No, they dug deeper. They looked at the style of the names, the logos, the overall feel, and the context. And they said, well, yeah, they sound alike, but Dantana's has that Italian thing going on, and Dantana's is more of a sports bar. They're not quite the same.
So context matters. What about the third factor?
The third factor is the similarity of the goods and services. And sure, both restaurants are in the food business, but Dantana's is more of a traditional high-end Italian place, while Dantana's is, like I said, a casual steak and seafood place with a sports focus. They're aiming at different crowds.
So even though they're both restaurants, their target markets and vibes are pretty distinct.
Right. The fourth factor is the similarity of sales methods. Basically, how do they reach their customers? And here, the court found there wasn't much overlap. Dantana's relies a lot on word of mouth and its reputation in LA, while Dantana's does more local marketing, often tied to sports. Different strategies for different markets.
Okay, makes sense. And the fifth factor.
Similarity of advertising methods, same idea. The court didn't see any evidence that they were advertising in the same places or using the same approaches. Again, different strategies for different markets.
So, no intentional piggybacking on each other's advertising.
Right. Now, the sixth factor gets interesting. It's the intent of the alleged infringer. Did the owners of Dantana's intentionally try to copy Dantana's to ride their coattails, so to speak?
What did the court find?
Well, the owners of Dantana's, they had a pretty good explanation. They said the name came from combining their kids' names, Dan and Anna, and one of the owners even testified that he'd never heard of Dantana's when they chose their name.
So, no malicious intent.
The court believed them. They didn't find any evidence to suggest that they were trying to trick customers or capitalize on Dantana's reputation.
Okay, so six factors down, one to go. What's the last one?
The seventh factor is actual confusion. Did customers actually get the two restaurants mixed up?
I imagine that would be pretty strong evidence of infringement.
It would be. But Dantana's only presented a few emails from confused customers over several years, and that wasn't enough to convince the court that there was widespread confusion.
A few isolated incidents weren't enough to prove their point.
Not with those two restaurants being so far apart. That's another thing the court considered. Geographic proximity. They said, look, these restaurants are on opposite sides of the country. They're not competing for the same customers. It's unlikely that someone in Atlanta would think Dantana's is connected to Dantana's in LA.
So location played a big role in the court's decision.
Oh, yeah, a huge role. And remember, Dantana's only had common law trademark protection, which is limited to the area where Mark is known. So his rights didn't extend to Atlanta anyway.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. What are the big takeaways from this case? What should law students especially keep in mind?
I'd say there are three main points. First, common law trademark protection is geographically limited. If you want broader protection, you need to register your trademark with the federal government.
So register your trademarks, folks. What's the second takeaway?
The likelihood of confusion test is multifaceted. There are seven factors to consider, and it's not just about how similar the names sound.
So it's a holistic analysis, context matters. What's the final takeaway?
Geographic separation can be a major factor in trademark cases. If the businesses are far apart and not competing directly, the likelihood of confusion is lower.
So location, location, location. That's key.
It is. And you know, this case really makes you think about the future of trademark law, especially in the digital age.
How so?
Well, with so many businesses operating online, reaching customers all over the world, these traditional ideas about geographic limitations might need to be rethought.
That's a great point. How do you determine likelihood of confusion when your market is global?
Right. It's a challenge for the courts and something for all of us to consider as we move into this increasingly digital world.
Definitely some food for thought there. Well, that's our deep dive into Tana v. Dantanas, a fascinating case with some important lessons for anyone interested in trademark law.
Absolutely. A classic example of how location, context, and intent all play a role in these kinds of disputes.
Thanks for breaking it all down for us. Until next time.
See ya.